Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes. CPA Trendlines presents an episode of The Disruptors.
Welcome to Accounting Disruptor Conversation. I'm your host, Liz Farr from CPA Trendlines. My guest today is Heather Smith. And I'm very pleased to have you on the show today, Heather.
Thank you so much, Liz, for inviting me on the show. And thank you to Accounting Trendlines for making this all possible. Looking forward to it.
Well, we've got a lot to cover, so let's get started. Well, accounting talent in the U.S. and around the world has been very scarce for years, and the pandemic made it worse. What are some ideas that you have on how to make things better, and what have you seen firms do successfully?
Great question, Liz. So recently, a few months ago, a young man contacted me. He had excellent credentials. He'd gone above and beyond in getting certifications, specifically in e-commerce apps, and he really demonstrated a can-do attitude. So his current role was too compliance-based, and he wanted to shift, he wanted to move on. But the small point, the small catch here is that he was based in Malaysia. So he's the perfect candidate, but based in Malaysia. So I know an e-commerce-focused accounting team that actively support remote work and asynchronous communication. So that's the ability to communicate in different time zones. So they actively support that. So being in Malaysia, being on a Malaysian time zone was absolutely irrelevant. And I made the introduction there and he was offered the job. And I just recently checked in and they said he was their new favorite teammate and he was just doing wonderfully with them. So to that story, does your business have the flexibility and support to engage the perfect candidate regardless of their location and regardless of when they can work? And to that, I would also ask questions around how are you differentiating yourself as an employer in attracting talent to the firm? What makes them want to work for the firm? I'm sure many people think that it's actually more than salary. In terms of your branding, are you encouraging existing staff to be part of the process of attracting staff? Are they sharing their stories on social media and fostering a team spirit? Are they giving potential candidates FOMO, feeling of missing out, over wanting to be included in that accounting team? How are you sharing your office culture? Are you attending events? Are you winning awards? Do you have Friday morning tea? And are you then sharing them on social media? I'd also be encouraging your staff to do that and encouraging them to share job ads and make sure the staff know whom you are looking for, know who else you want to add to the team. But also to that, I would review the process of applying for jobs within your company. Is it streamlined? Is it respectful? Are there inbuilt biases in the process? And to that, the story about the young Malaysian gentleman, when I spoke to the firm and the accounting practice and they said, yes, we're interested, he actually went through their process and it would have automatically kicked him out because he didn't have a compliance background. But they were like, oh, okay, it's okay because Heather said that you're okay to apply. And that was the differentiator that got him through. So are you only looking for compliance-based staff? There's a lot more people out there that can actually join an accounting firm, such as people working in advisory, people working in data scientists. And for him, he could fully project manage an e-commerce implementation for a client. There were other people who could support him on the client, the compliance based. So test out your application process. Review what's actually written in the job description and the job titles on offer. And also think about how do you find the passive candidates who are not actively looking for jobs. Yes, the last 2 years, I think, really has changed the way that we engage talent. Has it changed that for your firm? Are you open to gig workers, and are you open to hybrid workers? And also, do you have a leaky bucket? And are you looking to fix that leaky bucket? I know there's a person here in Australia who is always losing staff and is always advertising for new staff. And it's like, there must be something going on that's causing that leaky bucket. And that is something to look at. It's far easier to keep someone who's good than to lose them. And to that, I love my technology. So I'm going to mention a solution called EverPerform, and I'm sure there's other solutions out there, but what it looks at, it sort of does a data set on sort of the happiness and the work-life balance of your staff. So look at that. Are you assessing how happy you are, and are you addressing that? So hopefully a few ideas there on how to tackle this issue. And you did open with this, but I will emphasize this. It's happening everywhere. It's happening in England. It's happening in Singapore. It's happening in Asia. It's happening in Australia. So there has been a big shift, and we need to be open and working with it.
I agree completely. And I liked what you said about being open to candidates who don't tick all the boxes. When I was working in public accounting, we hired a receptionist who had a background in communication. And on her own, she started taking some accounting and bookkeeping courses just so that she knew what she was telling the clients to do. Turned out she really liked it. She was really good at it. And so within just a few months, she was doing tax returns for us. So you just never know. And now she's on a CPA track. So you just never know.
But she shows her initiative, her attitude, and her commitment to lifelong learning, which is fantastic.
Absolutely. Now, until recently, the business model for accounting firms hadn't changed much for decades. You know, and here in the US, everybody is still stuck on billing by the hour, and we have these rather rigid organization charts. But what are some things that you are seeing in the firms that you work with?
So from my perspective, and I'll just quickly snip in about me, I loved accounting from when I was 14 and loved the opportunities that it gave me to move around. And my practice fits in a lovely Italian leather handbag, and I can be anywhere and my clients can be anywhere. So really, I was always pushing that sort of ability to work from anywhere from about sort of mid-2000s to do that. So to that, and sort of a step to answer your question, I avail myself to the professional associations when they have roundtables. And so ACCA, which is the Association of Chartered Certified Accountants, which is a global organization, had a think tank on this topic. I do think being involved in these roundtables with associations is something meaningful that you can do to actually help push the industry forward, push the community forward. And so one of the studies they did was, and they produced a white paper on it called Careers in Small and Medium-Sized Accountancy Practices. And within that, they actually identified four new models that were evolving. So they are the ambitious sole practitioner, the digital startup, the transformed partnership, and the micro practice with expert network. Okay, so they did this massive study, and they identified these four new models. So I'll briefly describe them, and you can see whether that you can recognize them in what's happening around you. The ambitious solo practitioner, highly networked and visible, serving clients and winning business proactively. the digital startup. So we do see a lot of this, and I think you see a lot of this happening in the USA, centered on one or two entrepreneurial pioneers starting from scratch and focused on servicing high growth small businesses with a strong digital core. So they're using a lot of technology, they're using a lot of apps, and they're pushing for growth. This is an interesting one, and one that needs to be more embraced, I think, for an easier transition into the digital world, which is the transformed partnership. The traditional firm taking a variety of approaches to transition their firms to digitalization. So from the big bang switchover, like suddenly just moving everything to digital, to building a new practice side by side. So you have the traditional with the modern practice working side by side, and you make decisions about which clients you move into the modern practice and which clients you keep in the traditional practice. And this has been a model that I've seen sort of successfully move along. And so if you are sitting in a traditional firm and you want to modernize it, that's something to explore and something to potentially take to the decision makers in the firm. And then you have, and this is probably where I sit, in the micro practice. So I'm a very small practice with a strong expert network. So I know someone everywhere who does everything. And I've always got someone to tap into. So it's a sort of a newly emerging model, highly networked. If you've got issues, you can handball them to an expert to actually resolve that and then bring the client back in. So you're supporting your client through your extensive network. So hopefully those four make sense, and there's some sort of new ones to sort of think about in terms of the evolving models of accounting practices.
Well, those are really interesting. And I especially like the idea of operating in parallel, because so many firms are just terrified of making the big switch from the way that they have run their business for perhaps decades to a new way of interacting with clients. They're just petrified of that. And so, because they're so frightened, they don't make that change.
Absolutely. And look within your firm and find the entrepreneurial spirit, which is, we call it an intrapreneur, and look and sort of give them ownership over developing that side of it, and have sort of really clear, not necessarily, you don't want to encapsulate the two firms, but okay, when this comes in, this is where it's going and this is where it's going. And if people feel they want to move across, then these are the bridges to move them across. Because interestingly enough, many firms have, a bigger firm has up to five generations of people working in that firm. And they're dealing with clients who are probably seven generations. So they may not necessarily be able to adapt to the technology. I appreciate that. But it keeps you moving, it keeps you on the track, and you can have that modern comfort with traditional homeliness and rusticness.
Yes, I do like that. Now, one of the people that I do quite a bit of writing for is the name of Al Anderson, who is working to modernize audit. And he recommends that audit firms set up an R&D team within the firm who is given a blank slate to just start an audit from scratch, throw out the checklist, throw out last year's work papers, and just try doing things from new. And he cautions that, yes, at the beginning, this will take longer. It will be very hard. But once you get a few reps in, then it really does pay off quite well. So what about growth? How do you think firms, what are some good strategies for growing a practice?
So the word growth always worries me a bit, because anyone can blow up a balloon, and then they keep blowing it and blowing it and blowing it, and what happens is it bursts. And when we talk about growth, I think it's really, really important to encase that with sustainable growth and embrace a work-life balance. So growth for growth's sake is not necessarily a good thing. And it can mean a lot of different things to different people. Grow for your profits, your client base, grow your service offerings. Adopting a growth mindset and nurturing continuous lifelong employment, lifelong learning within the work environment. So I'm very much someone who probably would lean into grow slow and sustainably, and be aware of what is happening around you. And I know that we can probably bring analogies in about, the slow will be eaten by sharks and things like this. They always like to scare us with things like that. But don't feel that you need to grow. If you're in a practice and you're just constantly being bombarded with people telling you to grow, don't feel that you need to take on a huge staff base or more partners if that doesn't align with what your work-life balance is. The sole practitioners can lead a really great lifestyle, and as well as the bigger firms can lead a really great lifestyle, but it's that sustainability that rounds up for them. And one of the things to embrace growing sustainably is be selective about your client base, be selective about the projects that you'll take on, be selective about the services that you're going to offer, and really enjoy yourself. Have fun and enjoy time with your colleagues, your family, and your friends. So not perhaps the answer you wanted, but...
But I do like that answer, because it is a much saner approach to growth than simply adding more zeros to the top line. Because if you're not doing that in a way that brings joy to your work and joy to your life, then you'll just burn everybody out, including yourself. So...
Yeah, absolutely. And I know as a micro business who embraces a lot of technology, my bottom line is a lot healthier than people I know who have multiple people in their firm. So, and my work-life balance is a lot healthier too. So don't grow because that's the constant messaging out there.
That's a really good reminder. Now, what skills do you think accountants need to be successful today and in the future?
So again, really interesting question. And I did a roundtable with the ACCA on this topic, and they produced a white paper. And I'll give you both the links to these white papers, which is The Digital Accountant, Digital Skills in a Transformed World. And they actually list out the variety of skills that accountants will need moving forward. So massive surveys gone forth, and then we have this information. So I think first one, which is a skill, which is an old skill that we have had, but we just really always need to embrace it. An accountant's superpower is ethics and integrity. And that runs through everything that we do. And that is why we are such an important part. We are the oxygen for the businesses around us. So really lean into that ethics and integrity point. Critical and analytical thinking. So thinking beyond what has been placed in front of you. Being comfortable with technology, and I get that that won't be for everyone, but trying to be comfortable with technology and explore, understand how it works and explore it a bit further. Strong communication skills and empathy, which I'm sure one, Liz, is one that you agree with, coming from a communications background. It's so important to be able to read the numbers, but share the story of what the numbers are I'm telling you. And that empathy piece never became more important than during the COVID turmoil and all of accountants across the world, suddenly accountants and bookkeepers embracing their clients and supporting them through tax stimulus offerings that were out there and the empathy of keeping them going and trying to support them. As you know, there's that saying, accountants and bookkeepers don't save lives, they save livelihoods. And that empathy during COVID is very important for that. Openness to share and cooperate, adaptability, the continuous learning, the continuous learning mindset, lifelong learning, and an entrepreneurial mindset. So sort of some interesting skills that were highlighted within the report. And so many of those skills are soft skills, but they're actually the hard skills, aren't they?
Yes, yes. Those are always the hardest ones to learn. And they're not the ones that are taught to us in our accounting classes at the university, unfortunately, you know.
Absolutely. And I think that the accounting world does need to evolve in terms of some of those topics that are actually being taught and let us evolve with it. And that's the great thing about having a podcast such as yours, is that accountants out there who have gone through the system can actually listen to other people whom you're having on the podcast and hear what they're actually saying. And from there going, sort of pick something and going, oh, someone says I need to be able to tell the story from data. Okay, how do I do that? Search on YouTube, search other podcasts and find out, find and take that initiative yourself to learn it. I wish the study element was less if we sort of agreed to embrace continuous learning. I don't know how you do that, but I wish the study element was less and we could just get more people in, like the lady whom you mentioned at the start, who started as as the administrative assistant and just kind of kept on going.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree, you know, and I really do think that the future will be empathy and storytelling. You know, there were so many times when, you know, early in my career, I started at an H&R Block, which is a retail tax office. And at the very beginning, I tried to go line by line through the client's tax returns, but I just saw these glazed eyes. And they just really didn't understand what was going on. And all that they could understand, the only thing that they really fixed on was the amount of their refund. That was all they really cared about. Now, I remember one young man being irate that his refund was $1,000 less this year than the year before. But that was because he'd made $10,000 more. And so, well, of course, you know, you're still $9,000 ahead. But that kind of storytelling was something that we really needed. That was something that I didn't really know how to do at that time. And I really wish that I had known that, so that I could explain to him, you know, look, you know, you had more money going into your bank account during the year, so you're better off with this smaller refund. So
yeah, and people like that then try and navigate the scheme, so they earn less money, and you're like going, but that's not how it works. That's it's really about trying to explain it. And it's a shame, again, it's not taught at schools at a general level all the way through.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, accountants are bombarded with all sorts of things that they should do. They should be a marketer. They should keep up with the latest technology. But what do you think accountants should stop doing immediately?
I think accountants should stop doing work that does not bring them joy and satisfaction, and they should do work that they love. I think that they should stop giving away stuff for free or for discounted prices. You need to embrace that as your decision to give away pro bono work. Volunteering can improve your brand, etc. But don't just give it away because it's demanded of you. The giving away 1 hour free session to have that introductory meeting with someone, yes, to some extent it is required, but how else could you do it? Look at sort of the freemium advisory content model. So share advice and all the frequently asked questions. Have that publicly available on your website. Have videos of yourself and other team members on your website so they know what the culture is and who they'll be speaking with. And so they have all of those questions answered before they get along. So yes, you may have a short meeting just to see that it's all going to be okay. But don't have this hour-long meeting. In-depth advisory, you need to be charging for that. And you need to have sort of that barrier in place that they're not thinking, they're not just going to see you for free. Stop repeatedly requesting information and paperwork from clients. The delivery requirements of that paperwork and of that information should be baked into the contract, and it should be an agreed part of the contract. There's also technology that will assist you in that process, such as Lissio and Carbon and another number of data collection softwares. But if your client isn't providing the information you need to do their work, why are they your client? Okay. If you have to chase them up, have it baked into the contract that there are additional charges. This is the price. And if I have to chase you, like, be kind. There are reasons for chasing people, which is necessary. But if you have to repeatedly chase someone and they return the work the day before it's due in, there's extra charges on that. Like, why would you do that to yourself? And you see it constantly. Accountants and bookkeepers complaining about that constantly, but you're enabling it to happen to yourself. And so to that point, stop working with the C&D clients. Your C&D clients are someone else's A and B clients. Set them free so everyone wins. I know people, I've sat in groups and spoken to accountants, and they tell me, like, I'm like, who is your ideal client? And they're like, the one that everyone else complains about. Client, I love working with that client. Great. Take that energy and pass it to this guy who actually wants that client. And I completely get that. Some people love that challenge. That's great. If those C&D clients don't, you know, slow down your canoe for those C&D clients. Move them to another canoe and just work with the A and B clients who are all moving in the same direction as you.
I agree with you there about getting rid of the C&D clients. But for so many firm owners, that is so difficult because maybe this is a family member or somebody that they've worked with for a very long time. How do you deal with that kind of situation?
Well, I guess that's okay. So I guess that's about making sure you've got the filters in up front to maintain that you're working with A and B clients and understanding, because as you do go through your work, as you gain experience gain understanding of the whole thing. You do better refine who are the clients that you want to work with, and it should be your choice. Now, if there are some people who are dragging the chain for you, there is. It may be that you move them to other. You move them to other people within the firm who can work with them. If there is a whole family group, but one person is more difficult than the rest of the people in the group, I guess it's a matter of assessing it as a whole, because they can somewhat make life difficult. Completely agree. And it's not a cut. It's not a simple textbook. Let's just take the plug out and move it over here. It isn't simple. It's, you know, these are people that we're dealing with. So it is a process of working out who it is. But recognizing who they are and providing easy ways to move them on, and having that as part of your process will help you in that. Some people will easily move on and some people won't. And that's a matter of, I'm not saying make their life difficult, always be kind with them. But if you have, if you identify where they could easily move to and you give them that explanation, that might be a suitable way to move them on. And if they refuse, work with it and keep going ahead. But again, bake into the contract additional charges if they're painful.
I do like those extra charges baked into the contract. And I think that is something that far too many accountants are afraid to do. And they willingly let clients bring in the paperwork at the last minute. And then, well, okay, you brought it in on the 14th and it's due on the 15th, and I will stay up all night to do this for you because I love working with you, or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, you've got to define the relationship to suit yourselves. And I'm going to say to this, when I started out, my first client, I was charging $50 an hour for, and they were my first client. And you know what? I kept them all the way through till when their business finished. They closed up their business. They knew my rates had quadrupled in that time. They knew they'd gone up, and I'd arrive and they'd be like, Heather, they'd make me a lovely cup of tea. They'd make me scrambled eggs, and I'd sit there and have my breakfast there. I'd do my work. And it was okay. I was perfectly happy working with a client who was not my ideal client, but they were just lovely, and it was okay. And and I was happy to support them because they'd supported me in the early days, and that's completely fine. It was a joy to be there. Also, never give up clients with cute dogs in their offices. Definitely never do that.
Oh, that's something that I will have to remember. And would you also say cute cats in their office also?
No, I'm allergic to cats. So I'm not a cat person. I'm a dog person. And but if you like the cat, then that's great. Whatever animal it is, if there's cute animals there, we will always take on-site visits for the cute animals.
Very good. Well, I won't tell my two cats who are sleeping in the room with me that what you just said. Now, and we've talked a lot about the things that accountants need to do differently, but too often accountants refuse to do them. They don't do what they know they need to. What do you think are the biggest blocks to change?
I guess that is going to be capacity. And that might be sort of capacity just to simply think about it. And blocking off time in your schedule just for thinking. As we evolve through our career and as the robots take on more of the work, we really need to block off time in our, we need to consciously block off time in our schedule simply for thinking. And sometimes because we're not sitting there billing in 6-minute increments or billing in 50-minute increments or something, we struggle with that. But it's really important, if we've managed to implement something or if we're doing something and we need to grow, we need to think that if you look at all the leaders in our society, they're not sitting there typing away on their calculators or their computers. Mm. They're taking time away to think. So how are you going to do that? Do you need to take a holiday? Mm-hmm. Do you need to reduce down to 4 days a week? Do you need to embrace meditation? So really pulling back to see, actually pull back, slow down to see what the big picture is and where you're actually going for and what the actual purpose happening here is. So hopefully that makes some sense. But I know that for me personally, I do all of my hard work in the morning and I do all of sort of my easier work in the afternoon. And I block out Monday and Thursday, about 3 hours on both days for thinking time. And also I take an hour walk every morning again, which is typically thinking time.
Oh, those are really, really good ideas. Yeah. And I would say that all of the partners in CPA firms that I worked with would have benefited tremendously from taking time to just think about what they were doing. There was one partner with whom I had many, many conversations about how he could leverage his 10 years of experience working as a CFO to really give some of his small business clients the insights of having a CFO on board. He really could have done that. And while he agreed with me, he really didn't see how he could fit that into his time. It just wasn't a line item on his calendar. He just couldn't do it.
Yeah, you have to block. You have to block your calendar out. Who drives your calendar? Do you drive your calendar or does someone else drive your calendar? We have a person here called Nicholas Sinclair who heads up the outsourced accounting group. And he always proudly sends me messages. My calendar is fully scheduled out for the next 6 months. And he has thinking time and he has break time and he has time with his children time. And I know that if I need to contact him, it has to fill into one of those slots, which is meeting with colleagues time tap into him and access him. He drives his calendar. He drives his life. He knows what his plans are. So, I have a driven calendar as well. Very blocked out calendar.
Mm-hmm. So that's how Nick Sinclair gets so much done. I wondered about that.
Well, he's a really great person to listen to in terms of that. Mm-hmm. He's very much. We're speaking on International Women's Day, and it's very lovely to have a man who's like, Heather, I'm not speaking to you. I'm not going to be available then. I'm with my children. I'm like, great, fantastic. That's where you should be. You block out whatever days you need, and that's why you're late back to me. That's great. Hallelujah. Fantastic.
Yeah, well, more accountants could do that if only they were bold enough to do so.
Yeah. I don't know where to help on that front, but I do, everyone kind of, you have to enable people to drive their calendar and drive what they need to do. So, mm-hmm. And I guess that part of that is influencing upwards and understanding who the decision makers are. But again, if that's not happening in your firm, let's circle back to question one. There's a lot of people out there looking for great talent. So look to somewhere that will let you drive your own calendar.
Absolutely. Now, here in the US, client accounting services or client advisory services, whatever you want to call it, is really big right now. What do you think will be the next big thing?
So it's interesting because you have this term CAS, and here in Australia, that actually aligns with sort of an auditory compliance, working with the government type of service. So it's always, I see all of the commentary about it, and it's always quite confusing because it's a really specialized area. But I'm guessing, does it encompass management reporting and advisory? Is that what it's encompassing?
Yes, it is. It is. Yeah, it is. Not just doing the bookkeeping, but also trying to give business owners some insights as to what those numbers mean.
It's funny how you came up with that term, because you had, like, America has a chartered management accounting institute over there. So it is really funny because, like, I'm sort of by trade a management accountant, and, you know, have been for years and years, like years and years and years and years. And years. But as we're evolving, everyone keeps taking our name and giving it another name. So CAS, it does seem to be sort of some umbrella coverage for much of what a management accountant would do. But let's get to what the next big thing is. So this is, it's really interesting to think about what the next big thing is and why do you need to know about it? Are there gaps going to be in your service delivery if you're not aware of it? And do you want to be pulled into providing service in this area? So just because we're going to talk about a trend and just because we're going to say it's the next big thing doesn't mean you have to jump on it. But if it looks fun, if it looks interesting, if it looks like you can make some money, jump on it. So I think with the low interest rates, mergers and acquisitions is just, it's happening almost daily out there. Mergers and acquisitions in all different levels. So providing advice on that and assisting with that and then pulling the whole businesses together, I think that is just going to be constantly happening for the next few years at least, perhaps until something happens in the world markets and I'm not privy to that. Blockchain and cryptocurrency, while as well as being sort of buzzwords of the industry, we can see a lot of technology being developed in this space. We can see a lot of individuals partaking in this and thus turning up the accountant's office and sort of seeing many scenarios of, oh, they got into cryptocurrency and they traded every day and it looks like they've made 59 cents profit. But it's going to take thousands of dollars to process the accounts for this. However, it is something that is here and being aware of it, I think it's definitely an area to niche in. Okay, so I think it's definitely an area to niche in. And as sort of along with that, and this has been coming up as well, is ESG. Which is environmental, social, and governance. Reporting on that, embracing your financial and your non-financial reporting to embrace ESG. And while this is particularly targeted at the top end of town, I my little micro practice is very much trying to embrace it, making steps forward in embracing it. And I am seeing practices going out and getting the global certification, the B Corp, which is the global certification sort of in this space. And I can see and I know, but I'm not supposed to tell you, there are solutions that are going to come out that are going to be enabling you to do some really great reporting in this area, surfacing the financial and the non-financial data. So it would be things like, just to throw some examples out there, reporting on how much renewable energy the business is using per employee. How much renewable energy is the business using sort of versus their profit, published profit. So things like that that they need to be considered. Mm-hmm. How many volunteer hours are the firm doing? And just sort of popping those numbers out, and maybe sharing that information helps tell the story in a way that the layperson can understand a bit more. Yeah, so there's a few ideas out there, and I think if they're of interest to you, follow them. But if they're mm-hmm. not, lean into what you love. Don't put the blinkers on. Lean into what you love and just be the best at it.
Yeah, I'll especially like your discussion about mergers and acquisitions, because in a previous life, I held the credential of CVA, Certified Valuation Analyst, and we were generally called upon when there was going to be some sort of change in ownership. And doing that kind of work, figuring out what the value of a business was and what was unique about that business, what were the key things that that business had that others like it did not have, that I thought that was all very fascinating. It was a lot of fun to do that kind of work.
Yeah, absolutely. And that might be something for people to consider out there if they're interested in that, going ahead and sort of in their spare time going out and getting that certification and bringing it into focus on the area. If we go back to the business models, it's recognizing an expert in every area. So if you start putting it out there, okay, I'm an accountant, but I'm really keen on this area. I've got this learning behind me. Push them in my direction. And mm-hmm. it's so much easier to push work to an accountant who's an expert in something. It makes you feel good to do that. It might not hit your bottom line, but it does make you feel good to do that. But it means you've got more capacity to take on the clients that you know and can work with. And you know inside out, upside down before they start working with you.
Oh, yes. In the U.S., there was no requirement to have any kind of professional accreditation to do a business valuation. And so
thanks for a lot of fun.
It was kind of the Wild West, kind of anything goes. And we would look at the work that others had done and just like, don't know.
Yeah.
But it is an interesting thing. And it just demonstrates that there is always something new for somebody to do. You don't have to just be tied down to doing bookkeeping or tax compliance or audit. There's so many other things that you can do.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Heather, for our delightful conversation, and thank you for taking the time to talk to me. Now, if people want to connect with you, where is the best place to find you?
Liz, thank you so much for having me on this podcast episode with CPA Trendlines. It's very easy to find me. I am on all the social media platforms at Heather Smith AU representing Australia. So if you find me there, just connect with me. Let me know that you you heard me on the podcast. Always like to connect with people, and I put out an accounting apps newsletter, and again you can find that at heathersmithau.com. So all of those quite easy, hopefully, to find. There was just too many Heather Smiths out there, so I think there's like 80,000 of them. So
oh my
AU
that works.
I always blame the other ones if someone gets naughty, if someone does something naughty though.
That's a good thing to be able to do.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Heather.
Thank you so much, Liz. It's been lovely speaking with you. And thank you to CPA Trendlines.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes. We hope you'll rate and review us wherever you find your podcasts to help other accountants find our show more easily. For more information, you can go to CPATrendlines.com.